Moncrief on News Talk.
You will be aware of the hit Netflix show Firefly Lane. A movie called Nightingale is due to be released next year. Both those productions, and there will be many more in the future, are based on the work of the novelist Kristen Hannah, who has become a publishing phenomenon. When her last work, The Women, was published last year, it debuted at number one on the New York Times bestseller list. Kristen, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. It's nice to be here.
You're here on holidays, I'm told.
I am here on holiday.
How wonderfully lucky for us to get you then. Is this your first time in the country?
It's my second time. I came here with my dad for a really important family trip about a decade ago.
Yeah. And can I ask, why was it an important family trip?
Just because we got to be together and we have Irish heritage and we got to spend some time together driving around the country.
Yeah, and it is the most cliched of questions from radio presenters, but could you tell us about your Irish heritage?
Excuse me?
Could you tell us about your Irish heritage? Do you know where may have come from?
So my grandmother, my father's mother, was Kathleen Mary Malarkey. And so we wanted to go up and see, you know, Malarkey's, where they lived, and you know, just kind of see this. It's such an amazing country. We drove around it for about 2 weeks. I will say the driving was fairly traumatic. You know, wrong side of the road, little tiny roads, big buses.
You were on the wrong side of the road.
I know.
You were, because as I understand, you were originally a lawyer. So, yeah, had you always burned to write, or when did that occur to you to do that?
You know, actually, I didn't want to be a writer. I did want to be a lawyer. And it was kind of a long and unusual route to get here. But the shorter version is that my mother died of breast cancer when I was young. And I was in my third year of law school when she was dying. And, you know, it was one of those, obviously, a very difficult time. And, you know, she was in the hospital. And we started talking a lot just about my future and about the world and, you know, everything in it. And at some point, my mom said, you know, you shouldn't worry about all this stuff. You're going to be a writer. And, you know, it was one of those things. I think now as a mother, I know how well we know our children. And I think she was both seeing the future for me and a possibility, but also I think maybe a little bit it was a dream of her own that she was never able to, you know, sort of come through with. And so that was the beginning. We decided in the hospital to start writing a book together. And that was sort of the beginning. It was back, of course, pre-internet. So I would go to the library every day and Xerox all of these pages of research. It was actually set in 18th century Scotland. And, you know, we had all this wonderful, wonderful time putting it all together. And then after she passed away, I just put it all in a box and went on with real life. Mm. And then a few years later, when I got pregnant with my son, I had a really difficult pregnancy. And I was bedridden for 7 months. And so I pulled out the box and thought, I'd like to be an at-home mom. I'm going to try this writing thing and let's see how it goes.
Yeah. In retrospect, do you think that, what do you think it was your mother saw in you that she knew you were going to be a writer?
Well, I think, of course, like I said, we know our children so well. But I was always the girl whose nose was buried in a book. You know, the one where family vacation, dad said, look out the window, it's the Grand Canyon, you're missing it. And we moved around a lot. My dad was an adventurer, and so we moved around a lot. So I was always the new kid in town. And I think it was my books that were my friends that I sort of took with me. So I was always this huge reader. And I was really good with words. You know, I enjoyed writing. So I was good in college at writing and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I think she understood that ultimately, I would do better in an environment as a more introverted person, that I would do better sitting in a room, being the captain of my ship rather than putting on a suit and going to the 35th floor.
Yeah. And over the course of how many novels have you done now in total?
I think I mean over 20
yeah.
in 35 years.
Yeah. And so did you reach a point where you can, this is my system now. This is my process. This is how I do it.
You know, it's interesting. My process has undergone many changes over time. And I think it's probably because, you know, I started as a young mother. I wrote my first book, obviously, you know, when I was pregnant. And the first published book, I had a two-year-old. And so I learned to write in the 45 minutes of nap time. Hmm. Or waiting, you know, in the carpool lane. Or so I learned to be very productive, which meant doing a lot of thinking and note-taking. But when it was time to write, I wrote. And so that was a very streamlined process for like 10 years.
Because I read a story, the short story writer Raymond Carver used to go out to his car to write in similar gaps, which explains why the stories were so short. They had to make every word count.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard sometimes with a kid, with a child, with everything going on, to find any quiet time, you know, is great. And so now, of course, I have lots of time. And I think that's partially why my books are longer. My research is more extensive. I have a lot more time to focus on the writing itself and the research and the story that I want to tell. Mm. And I think, too, you know, if you look over the course of my work, I've been in the last like 15 years very interested in lost women's historical stories. And so it's this constant quest to find a story that I think needs to be out in the world and needs to have women know the story and then try to do it justice.
Yeah. And it seems to be kind of the, I suppose, I don't know how many books it is, but in the last few years, it's all historical work that you've been concentrating on. And so is it, there is an interesting period of history. I wonder, is there a story there, or I've discovered this story and it just happens to be in a period of history?
Well, the women, for example, my last book about Vietnam, I've wanted to write that book for 20 years. And I tried to write it 20 years ago, and I just wasn't old enough. I wasn't good enough. I didn't have the perspective just as a human being to sort of understand the complexity of that period. And it really wasn't until COVID hit, and I live on a small island, and our state was in lockdown. And, you know, I was watching the news and seeing, of course, the division in our country, the chaos, the anger, the all of that. And it felt very much like the Vietnam era again. Mm-hmm. And having been a child, I always wanted to understand how we got there and how we got out of it. And so I was, you know, interested in it from that perspective. And then again, on the news, I was watching the nurses and the doctors who were on the front line of the pandemic and thinking that they weren't, in America anyway, weren't getting the support that they needed. And so that's when I decided, okay, so the Vietnam story is timely again. It has something to say. Mm-hmm. So it's really this kind of kismet of a story that speaks to me personally because I have to be really invested in it. But I also have to find a good story to tell in that time period.
Yeah. And the approach for people who aren't familiar with the women, it's because I suppose there have been many iterations done of, you know, a male veteran goes to Vietnam, comes back and finds a country that's changed and encounters mm-hmm. hostility. And I don't know if anyone's ever written about nurses who went over there, female nurses, and what their experience was like. When you were doing the research, did you speak to nurses who had been there and who found that they experienced hostility for having been in Vietnam?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I spoke to a lot of them, and I've spoken to even more, you know, following the book's release. And, you know, one of the things, I mean, it's a shameful time period in American history in terms of how all of the vets of the Vietnam War were treated when they came home. Not across the country necessarily, but certainly, you know, enough that they remember it. And then you sort of put, you know, a woman in that stead, and she's even more invisible and even more forgotten. And I realized at a certain point, of course, that they were aging. And that if I wanted to write this book to tell their story and to shine a light on their story, that I really wanted to do it while they could read it. Mm. And it's been so gratifying to see and to hear from vets, male and female, who are reading the book and are being spurred to tell their children and even sometimes their spouses the stories that they haven't told for 50 years.
If the divisions that lockdown caused at the time you were writing the book, and that, you know, obviously had resonances from the Vietnam era, by the time it was published, those divisions were even more stark, would it be fair to say?
You know, I guess I'd have to do more research to sort of compare them head to head.
Yes.
From a sociological and political viewpoint. But I can certainly say that those were the two sharpest, ugliest, most divided points I've ever seen our country in my lifetime.
Mm, yeah. You're on holiday now, but so technically, I suppose, not working on something, but is there something ticking along in the back of your mind?
Oh, I'm always, you know, ticking along with something, looking for the next great idea and looking for the next thing that I have to say to people. Because, I mean, one of the things that's so amazing about being a writer, and especially going back to the way the world is right now, we writers, artists, have an ability and an opportunity to create empathy in our readers and to sort of convince people or show people what it's like to be the other, what it's like to be treated differently. And I think this is a time where the arts are even more important. So I would like to find an idea that somehow makes use of that.
Yeah. Does that ever become a worry that you know, The Women is published last year, and then you go, well, I have to come up with a good idea within 6 months kind of thing.
It's always a worry.
I'm sure you will. I'm absolutely sure you will. The name of that book we were just talking about is The Women. Kristen Hannah, thanks a million for coming in to talk to us today.
Thank you so much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.